Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Colossians 3 from verse 12. Let's go. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Amen. We'll title this Acts of Kindness. Acts of Kindness. My dad told me something that happened, and that was before I was born. He had gone to a water tap to fetch water, and there was this old man who came by also to get water from the tap. My dad said that he stepped back and asked the man to fetch the water. The man took the water, turned, and prophesied to him. Spoke to him about his children and how they would be famous, they would be great, and all of that. And the point really there, why that made a lot of impact on my dad, is because their first child died a few hours after birth. And they were grieving. My dad and mom were grieving at that point in time. And this total stranger would speak directly to the situation. And my dad said, okay, that he turned to fetch water and then lifted up his eyes and wanted to, you know, look at the man again. And the man was gone. The man was gone. A small act of kindness then provoked a prophecy. For whatever you care, we don't know. He can't say whether the person was really a human being or not. Because when he lifted his eyes again to see the man walking away, the man was completely gone. In Hebrews chapter 13, we have some admonition, the first three verses, Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 3. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners, as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Don't lose the capacity to feel with people, to sympathize with people, to empathize with people. You also are in a physical body. Don't lose the capacity to feel people's pains along with them. Let brotherly love continue. Don't forget to entertain strangers, he says. So, love is kind, according to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. And we know that love is our highest calling as Christians. What makes you a Christian? It's not what people think these days, or maybe what may have been falsely propagated, that the sign that the person is blessed of God, the sign that the person is Christian, the sign that the person is anointed, are the material blessings in one's life. Oh yes, God does bless us materially when we walk in line with His word. But I'll tell you that the greatest manifestation of spirituality is character. Godly character. And the primary manifestation, the summary of it, is the word love. love. Which is the greatest commandment? They asked Jesus. He said, love the Lord your God. The second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We may perceive our world's problems as being very complex. Complex political problems, complex economic problems, complex social problems. The solution is very simple. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So the proof of love is sacrifice. It's what we do at the end of the day to make other people comfortable. He laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. So love is not just a feeling. Love is action. The only way I can know whether you love me or not is how you treat me. At all levels. How you treat me with your thoughts, your attitude towards me, your disposition towards me. How you treat me with your words. How you treat me with your touch, physical contact. How you treat me with your actions. Okay, what you're willing to do on my behalf. How do we recognize God's love for us? God could have stayed there in heaven and he could have just been booming the messages to us. I love you. I love you, mankind. I love you, my sons and daughters. I love you. I love you. I love you. And it would have been very difficult for us to understand that love if we were here struggling to deal with our issues all by ourselves. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he did what? He did something. He gave. Sending his son to die for us is the greatest act of kindness that God has shown to us, especially watching his son die on the cross, that the second person of the Trinity would come, take on the form of human flesh, be subjected to all the things we are subjected to. He didn't have to. He could have stayed there in heaven. That's why it's not enough for us to tell people that we love them. It's not enough. He says, if you see your brother in need of anything, he says, and you shut up your bowels of compassion. He says, how can you say that the love of God dwells in you? If the love of God is ever in you, it will motivate you. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says that the love of God compels us. The love of God compels us. The love of God motivates us. The love of God drives us. It's a driving force. So if someone has the love of God in his or her heart, you will see it. It will show in how the person treats people. Let brotherly love continue. It means that in the first place, if anyone will walk in love, the place where it should start is church. Amen? The place where it should start is church. We need to put on bowels of compassion. We need to be forgiving towards one another. This is the sign that we are, these are the signs that we are Christians. The church is not the place where you wound the wounded some more. The church is the place where we bring healing. The church is the place where we have compassion. We have the capacity to put ourselves in other people's positions. It says we should forgive ourselves. I think that's one of the primary demonstrations of kindness. That we forgive, that we overlook a fault. Even as your heavenly Father has forgiven you. So, the church should not be a place of condemnation. I don't know why people have the idea that the church is supposed to be made up of perfect people. Church is for broken people who need healing. And as they receive healing, they walk towards perfection. Now, the proof of spirituality is not looking at other people in a condescending way and judging them. You know, like a story that I told here a few times about the lady who told me one day, after she began to come to her church, that she never wanted to go to a Pentecostal church. One day she was waiting at a bus stop, and she wasn't quite sure in what direction she was going and which bus to take, and she saw a gentleman and just wanted to ask him for direction. And she says she just approached him and touched him and said, "Brother," he burst out in tongues. Shata kapata shata. Because of the way she was dressed. She admitted to me she wasn't saved, she wasn't a Christian, she was dressed in a flashy way, a crazy way. But it was obvious from Bro's response that he had just been touched by a demon. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Brethren," or brothers, it says, "if a man is overtaken in any trespass," it says, "you who are spiritual," do what? Restore. You who are spiritual. You who are, what should spiritual people do? Restore. That's what he said. He says, "restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness, considering lest you also be." See, it's a cycle of failure. It's a cycle of failure. We need to be kind. We need to be gentle with people. We need to be mild in handling people. We need to be sensitive in relating with people. So, if love is there, it will show. It will show in the way I treat people. But I love Hebrews 13. When it says, "be kind towards strangers." In doing so, it says some people have unwittingly taken care of angels. And obviously, they were referring, that was a reference to Abraham. When he saw three men under the tree, and it was like they had been coming a long way. He didn't know them. They were total strangers. And Abraham went and pleaded with them that they should please stay. "Let me take care of you." They said, "no, no, we have somewhere to go." He said, no. "Please hold on here." As they sat down, he ran in, asked someone to kill an animal and prepare it, asked them to prepare food for them. You know, they gave them water to drink, you know, and after they had eaten and were refreshed. And the Bible says that the Lord said, can you imagine? Only God knows how many times we have missed opportunities for miracles. You know what happened in that instance? Barrenness was terminated. Long-term barrenness was finished. One day of showing hospitality. And then more than that, Abraham had authority with God. Because as they were about to move, as the Lord was about to move, then he said, "by the way, shouldn't I share some of my secrets with Abraham? Shouldn't I share some of my secrets with Abraham?" He turned back and said, "you know what? I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." And Abraham began to intercede. "If you find 50 righteous people there, would you destroy the place? If you find..." Listen to me. If you sign in to this kindness campaign, you will become the one that heaven can rely on to transform our society and to transform our world. Amen. you will be able to share in God's secrets. The story is there in Luke chapter 10. For the sake of time, I won't be able to read the full thing, but you know the story. The man that we call the Good Samaritan. When you read the body of the story, Jesus did not qualify the Samaritan as good. He said a certain Samaritan. Amen. Yeah. Our referring to the man as good, the Good Samaritan, is self-indicting. It's because the man did something that most of us would not normally do. He was just a certain Samaritan. Traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, he said there was a certain man, who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They beat him, wounded him, robbed him of his possessions. And he said, a priest came and passed by. And then a Levite came and crossed over to the other side and passed by. And a certain Samaritan came, attended to the man, took him, bandaged his wounds, took him to an inn, gave the innkeeper 2 denarii, gave him money, said, please take care of him until he is healed. When I come back, if you've spent more money than I gave you, I'll give you more money. And Jesus told that story because someone asked him, which is the greatest commandment? He said, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And somebody said, who is my neighbor? If you want to obey, obey. God's instructions are not for analysis. They're for action. Amen. If you want to obey, obey. There's no need for analysis. Jesus said, which of the 3 men was a neighbor to him? End of story. In other words, the fact that someone goes to church does not mean that the person is godly. The place where we find out whether a person is a Christian or not is not in the church service. It's out there. I mean, I was touched. I was reading the story of someone who went to Tim Hortons. That's a cafe in Canada, you know, and when it was time for him to pay for his cup of coffee, he paid, he said they should take $860, that he was paying for the next 500 people that would buy coffee from that shop. Can you imagine? And walked out. Everybody who came after that and wanted to pay, they said, no, don't worry, someone paid for you. Who paid for me? Stranger. I read the story of also a young man and a lady who, a couple who went to shop and they were really, really low on money. Really low. So they were just going to pick a few items. The man ahead of them at the counter where they were paying saw the few things that they picked and said, don't you guys want meat? He said, with that. He was very sensitive. They were squeezing the cash, you know. He was good. Don't you guys just, all they had was $20. Okay? So they were squeezing in everything, you know, just to be able to last them a few days. He was very sensitive to them. He said, I think you guys need meat, don't you? Come along, come with me. And took them back to the meat section. And said, take whatever you need. This person took a few. The guy just packed, you know, just packed so many of them. And said, let's go, okay. And paid $200 worth. Paid for everything. Said, have a nice weekend. Total stranger who didn't know them before. They can never forget that, okay? Someone was trying to pay for something. Then they said, oh, the person ahead of you paid for you already. The person said, okay, I'm paying for the next person too. Then and with that, they passed it forward. This week, I just want to encourage If you are a Christian, your life is now different. The culture of wickedness is no longer part of your tradition or culture as a Christian. There's something I had, you know, when I was young. You know, I had it in vernacular, in Yoruba language, and it so struck me, it hasn't left me. If the chicken kicks my bowl of water, I will smash its eggs. If you're from the Yoruba area of this country, you will understand what I just said. Have you heard that before? I will break its egg. I've thought and thought and thought about it. Chicken, you and chicken. You and chicken, now on the same level. Or this one, you may have heard it before. It's also a Yoruba saying. It's the person who looks at the at his wife's face that knows that she's weeping. Abi? Because they cry a lot. So the best thing, don't look there. So that you can say what you want to say. What kind of insensitivity is that? If somebody is weeping, the person is hurting. The best is to find out what it, if you have any milk of kindness, if you have any sensitivity, the heart of a Christian is different from the heart of someone who is not saved. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So I go back to Colossians 3, you know, the character of a Christian. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. And I'm going to close on that and pray. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14 again. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies. Tenderness.